for Tony. As many of you may know, that song, a really incredible song called Never Enough, is from the hit movie, The Greatest Showman. And guys, for those of you that are married in the room, if you're a wife and you have not seen it, it'd be a great date night for you to rent that. You'll get some good brownie points. But it's a great movie and really a great song. And the reason why I wanted to start the message with that song is because I believe it encapsulates in a powerful way, really, our lives here as Americans, here in Houston, one of the biggest cities in America. Because here's what I've found. I've found that most of us, we have this attitude, this pursuit, where we've always got to get more. That we need one more thing, one more accomplishment. And honestly, brutally honest, it's never enough. And I think it's one of the reasons why we're overwhelmed. I believe it's one of the reasons why we're overworked, overstressed. Am I talking to anybody today? That we're worried, that we have anxiety, and we're trying to do all these things to medicate it, but let's be honest, brutally honest, it's not working. And the truth is, when you walked in today, whether it's your first time or you're here every single week, is that you have stress and worry that you carry. And honestly, doesn't matter what's happening in your life, no matter what side you're on, you're stressed, you're worried. Let me give you a couple examples. Think about our kids. I've got two young kids. Maybe you have some kids. Maybe your kids are older now. Maybe you got grandkids. But think for us just a moment that have children. We're stressed about our kids. Like, we're worried, we're concerned about our kids. That's one group of people. But think about on the other side. There's many in this church, and I know who they are, that they're stressed because they can't have kids. So those of us that have kids, we're stressed about them. And those of us who don't have kids, we're stressed because we can't get pregnant and have kids. You see what I'm saying here? We've got issues. We've got problems. For those that are married like myself, we're stressed and worried about our marriage. Like, we don't know if we're going to make it. We fight way too much. We don't have enough fun like we used to when we were engaged or back in the honeymoon phase. And so we're stressed and we don't know if we're going to make it. But then on the other side, there's people in the room, people listening online later on our website, that we're stressed because we're single or we're single again. And so we're honestly worried, are we going to find Mr. Right? Are we going to find Mrs. Right? And so we're stressed and anxious and worried if we're going to live life by ourselves. Think about our jobs. Now, maybe you feel this way. I know I have before, but maybe you feel like your job, you've got one, but you couldn't have picked a worse boss. Like, maybe that's how you feel. And so maybe you're in a situation where you're like, man, it's like nails on a chalkboard every time I enter into the office, and I'm just stressed about it. Like, you're thankful for vacations. You're thankful for days off like Labor Day, but you already know that the next day you're going in. And so you're stressed about that. Stressed about this meeting, stressed about this thing. But on the other side, I know people in this church that you're stressed because you don't have a job. So we're stressed because we have kids and we don't have kids. We're stressed because we're married or we're not. We're stressed because we have a job or we need a job. So we are stressed. Can we just be honest? We're in church today. We need help. We need some help. We're stressed. We're overwhelmed. And that's why this series is so important. In fact, I just wrote down a couple more examples here. I made a list, in fact, of things that we're worried about, we're stressed about. Here's what I wrote down. We're stressed about our past. We're stressed about our present, and we're stressed about our future. Besides that, we're good, but that's where we are. And so we're worried, we're overwhelmed. We feel this pressure to have these perfect lives. We feel this pressure to perform. We feel this pressure to overfill our calendars. And this is why we're doing a series like this. It's the number one problem in our city. It's the number one problem in our world, in our culture. So how do we win the battle, the war that we're losing? If you have a copy of God's word with you, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. That's where we're going to be today. I'm going to read three verses together from God's word. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's completely fine. If you're new to church, you're like, I didn't even know to bring one. I don't own one. It'll be on the screen here in a moment. But Matthew chapter 11, we're going to hear from Jesus, my Savior, my King, my Lord, and he's going to tell us some great things that I think are going to be helpful in part one of our series. Matthew chapter 11, We're going to start in verse 28 and end three verses later in verse 30. So 28, 29, and 30. I'm going to read out of the New International Version, but if you have a different translation, it'll be good for you as well. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Here's what God's word would say to us to help us, because we need some help. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Over the next few moments, I want to preach to you a message entitled Baggage. So if you're taking notes, you should jot that down. It's the title of my message, our talk today, Baggage. And I just got to tell you, let me give you just a heads up. If you're like half as excited to receive the word today as I am to preach it, we're going to have some fun, okay? So I hope you're ready. I hope there's an expectation on the inside of you. And if you're not sold yet on the importance of this message, let me tell you who this message is dedicated to today. I want you to know that it's dedicated to the hopeless. If you're sitting here or you're listening online, you're saying, hey, I am hopeless. I'm getting ready to give up. I'm exhausted. It's dedicated to you. And so what that means is if you feel that way, you should pay attention because this could bring life change. Actually, I was praying this way earlier today, this morning, that I believe the message today, not because I'm preaching it, because it's God's word, I believe it could alter your destiny today. And so I'd want to listen to that message, so I hope you will. So I want you to bow your heads with me. Let's pray and kind of set our hearts up for God to speak to us. God, I pray right now, in Jesus' name, that you would open up every heart to receive from you, that you'd open up every mind to receive from you, that you would open up every soul to receive from you. God, I know this, that when we enter into an atmosphere with a posture of the heart that says, you know what, I'm going to listen, I'm going to absorb, I'm going to take in what this person has to say. When we enter into an environment like that, with that kind of expectation, we are setting ourselves up to hear from you. And so I just pray, God, today that we would be open, that we wouldn't push away what you have to say, but we would accept it, receive it, and apply it to our lives. And God, I pray lastly, for each and every single person listening today that's far from you. God, they don't have a relationship with you. Maybe they've been used to religion, and we'll talk about that from the text, but they are far from you. They don't have a relationship with you. I just pray, God, that even now, Holy Spirit, may you start to draw them unto yourself. May you knock on the door of their heart saying, this is for them. This is their moment that you can change their life here on earth, but even better than that, you can change their eternity. God, have your way in this house, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The first point, you could jot this down if you're taking notes. We got 3 points today. I usually have three because I've learned that if I have any more than that, you don't remember them. So I usually stick with three. And today, number one, you could jot this down. The first point we see from God's word is we've got to check the baggage. Check the baggage. Well, where in the world did you get this from, Pastor Ryan? I got it straight from the beginning of verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. You see, Jesus is talking here. In fact, in a lot of Bibles, a lot of Bible apps, the words are in red, which means it's from Jesus to us. And he's calling out to two important groups of people. In fact, we need to know today who Jesus is talking to. So right from the beginning in verse 28, he shouts out, he says, hey, if you're weary and you're burdened, I'm talking to you. And I want you to come here to me. And so we got to understand, what does it mean to be weary? And what does it mean to be burdened? And not from an English definition, because the Bible wasn't originally written in English. Most of the New Testament where we are, Matthew's the first book in the New Testament, most of it is written in Greek, and that's the case here. So what does the Greek word for weary mean? And what does the Greek word for burdened mean? And you could jot this down if you'd like, but here's what weary means. It's the Greek word kapiao, kapiao, and it means this, a person exhausted from their work or journey. That's many of us. We are exhausted, and if that's us, Jesus is calling out. person exhausted from the work or journey. Here's what the Greek word for burdened means. Here's how you pronounce it first. It's fortizo, fortizo, and it means a person weighed down with heavy loads. So you're exhausted and or you're weighed down with heavy weights. That's who Jesus is talking to. You know, I've learned a lot about baggage over my life. You've seen this from the beginning, maybe. And this is one of our personal bags that we'll take luggage whenever we go traveling. And you know this, that if you're traveling Southwest especially, you've got a lot of bags because bags fly free, okay? And so you've got two bags per person. And not just that, but you get a carry-on as well. So we mainly fly Southwest. It's usually where we find our best deals. And plus, we have two kids, and so we have a lot of stuff. Anybody realize that? Like, when you have kids, you have a lot of stuff. Even coming to the church building today, we parked over here. Even that, like, whatever, 100-yard walk, whatever it is, we had this, because it was an illustration today. We had a our cart there with the stroller with the car seat on top, that thing. And then we had a diaper bag. We had my bag up here with my laptop and my iPad, because I preach from an iPad. We had a backpack, I think, for my son that was in the car. I mean, we just had so much stuff, like, to make it 100 yards to church. But when we travel, we got a ton of stuff. And you know this, that when you go to the airport, you see a lot of people with baggage. But here's what happens. If you try to get on the plane without checking your baggage, you're in trouble. Why? Because the plane is not regulated for that excess weight. It's not. It can handle the hundreds of people there and the pilots, the flight attendants, the equipment, and the carry-on bags. It can handle all of that, but as far as this excess baggage, it is not regulated for that. But here's what I found out about baggage, because you already knew that. Here's what I found out, that a lot of people in life outside of an airport, they're carrying baggage too. I've learned this being a pastor now for almost 10 years, almost a decade. I've talked to so many different people. Doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't matter how long they've been a Christian. There are so many that everywhere they go, they are carrying baggage with them. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if you've been through a messy divorce, and really they're all messy. None of them are clean and nice and neat. If you've been through one, you understand that. But maybe for you, it's a divorce. So you went through that, and everything that you said to your spouse at the time, everything they said to you, everything that you did to them, everything they did to you, the mistrust, the lying, the manipulation, the false promises that they never carried through, whatever it is, what we do is we bag that up, we fold it neatly and nicely. And whether we realize it or not, I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual, emotional, relational. We carry that baggage with us. So every new relationship, every new friendship, whether we acknowledge it or not, the bag is there. It's there. You know what else I found out? A lot of the baggage that people carry is low self-esteem. I've learned that. That's not a teenage problem. It's not just a woman problem. It's a people, humanity problem. We look at ourselves in the mirror, and we don't like who's looking back. I've said this before, but we wave to people and our arm underneath keeps waving back to them. We need to lose some weight, we feel. We wish we didn't have this chin. We wish we didn't have that mark or that scar. We wish we looked a little differently, or maybe we wish our personality was differently. Maybe we wish that our upbringing was better. What do? We fold it, we pack it, and we carry that baggage with us everywhere that we go. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I wrote down a few more. Maybe for someone, it's your past. In every space you enter, you're fearful because you know you've got skeletons in your baggage. Maybe for someone else, and this is probably for several today, but maybe you have a secret addiction and you're really good at hiding it. It's packed nicely and neatly in your bag. And if people knew, they would be blown away because you are great at hiding it. So I don't know if it's pornography. Again, not just a man problem. It's a humanity problem now. all across the board. Maybe it's pills. Maybe it's a coping mechanism. Maybe it's a substance. I don't know what that looks like, but it's your baggage that you carry with you every single place that you go. Maybe it's your childhood, even though you're a young adult or an adult now. Maybe it's insecurity, a wrong relationship, or a history of failed ones. Friend, I don't know what it looks like, but we've got to, number one, Jesus is telling us that we've got to acknowledge that we have baggage. We got to stop pretending that it's not here. Hello? It's right here. And even though you pretend it's not there, and even though your best friend may not realize that it's there, it is there. And we've got to surrender it to Jesus. Jesus is calling out to two people today, and he's saying, the first group, if you are weary, if you're exhausted, I've got a better way. He's calling out to another group of people, if you are burdened and weighed down, I have a better way. If you want to win the war against worry, if you want to live in freedom, you've got to acknowledge that you've got some issues that Jesus needs to clean up. There are far too many people walking around with giant weights they were never meant to carry. Here's what I've learned before we move on to the practical. I've learned that the longer that you carry a bag, the longer that you carry that junk in your life, it's only going to get heavier. It's only going to get heavier. It may weigh 50 pounds or less now, but next year it's going to double. It may weigh 100 pounds or less now, but next year it may triple. It doesn't get lighter. It only gets heavier. So what's the practical application? Because let me tell you two things about our church if you're brand new. Number one, we preach the Bible, as you can tell already. Every single week, we dig into God's word. That's why we talked about the Greek. This summer, we went verse by verse through one of the books in the Bible. We preach the Bible around here. You got to know that. But number two, you also need to know that we like to get practical. I say this saying all the time, but if the Sunday doesn't change the Sunday didn't count. And so I want to give you not only encouragement and inspiration and correction from God's word, I want to show you how to apply it to your Monday morning world. And we've already been talking about it. How do you apply this first point? You got to tell Jesus and be honest with Jesus that, hey, I see the bags. I know you do, God, but I see them. I've got this problem, and usually it's not just one. Can we be honest? Usually it's multiple bags that we're carrying. And God, I see it for what it is. And if you don't see it today, ask yourself these two questions. Then we'll move on to the next point. Ask yourself, am I weary? Am I burdened with the troubles of life? And if the answer is yes, you have baggage. Second question, are you weighed down by your sin? If the answer is yes, you have baggage, and Jesus wants to deal with it. Number two, if you're taking notes, it's going to set somebody free today. Rest in relationship, not religion. Rest in relationship and not religion. We see this at the end of verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. That's the first part. We start there, but what happens next? I will give you rest. Jesus speaking, will give you rest. And I don't know about you, but again, I got young kids. So anytime rest is brought up, I'm all in, y'all. Like all in. So rest is an amazing thing. And God wants to give you rest. But not resting in religion and what you can do, resting in relationship and what he's already done. You know, what I think is fascinating is Jesus later on in this same book, the book of Matthew, later on in chapter 23, you can jot down this reference. We won't turn there. It's chapter 23, verse 4. But later on, Jesus condemns, like comes against religious Jewish people. You can read it for yourself. But Jesus comes down hard on the religious leaders in that time. Well, Pastor Ryan, why did he get mad at religious people? Well, why do you get mad at them? Let me tell you why. It's because they were unnecessarily laying guilt on people. They were unnecessarily putting heavy weight on people. And here's what they were doing. They were trying to turn people into legalists. And if you don't know that phrase, that's cool. I explained it for you. Here's what a legalist is. You need to know this. A legalist is someone who lives their life in such a way, they may not say it, but they live their life this way, where they do religious acts to earn God's forgiveness. That's a legalist. So here's what this means, that I'll read my Bible and I'll pray sometimes, but it's only to make God happy. A legalist comes to church, maybe even just on Christmas and Easter, I don't know. But they come on those days or maybe a few other days to feel better about themselves. Here's what a legalist does. Here's what how they live. They say, if I can do more good than bad, I'll be okay with God. They're trying to earn their way to heaven. Well, if I volunteer some, or at least I tell people I volunteer some, if I say mostly good things about my boss who I hate, I cannot stand, then it'll balance out. It's the scale, more good than bad. That's a legalist. And what did Jesus do? You can read it for yourself in chapter 23. He condemns that kind of life. He comes against that kind of life. In fact, can I tell you that Jesus said some crazy stuff in the Bible? If you haven't read it, you should read it. It's interesting. But Jesus called those religious people whitewashed tombs. What does that mean? It means this. They looked good and pretty on the outside, but they were empty on the inside. Y'all thought I said some hard stuff, man. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't play, okay? He called them whitewashed tombs and way more things than that. Jesus is not about religion. It's not just here in Matthew 11. It's all throughout the Bible. That's why in my 9 months that I've been here at the church as a senior pastor, that's why I've talked about this point over and over again, because it's all throughout the Bible. Everywhere. It's not about religion. It's about relationships. So let me give you the context. It's going to set somebody free today. You need to understand what Jesus is trying to say. He's saying, stop trying to earn your forgiveness. That's religion. But instead, rest in God's forgiveness. That's relationship. See, when you rest in God's forgiveness, that's because there's a relationship. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it, but it's there for you. If you can only remember one thing today, remember that God wants a relationship with you, not religion. And when you have a real authentic relationship with Jesus, you find rest. I want to show you a picture. Those that are listening online, you won't be able to see this, but this is Shrek. Just see Shrek here. Not who you thought it was going to be. You thought big green guy, nasty breath, nasty teeth, works for DreamWorks. That's not him up here. This is Shrek the sheep. Now, again, because I got young kids, I'm familiar with Sean the sheep. I don't know if you've heard of him before, but this is Shrek the sheep. And he doesn't look very natural. That's because he has 6 years worth of fleece on his body. Either that or he grew up in the 70s. I don't know, but he's there. I'll be here all week. He's there. That's Shrek the sheep. You see, years ago, and maybe you actually heard about him, years ago, he got really famous. A sheep can be famous, I guess so. But they found him because 6 years he was hiding in a cave, away from his shepherd, away from the flock. He was by himself. He would bounce from cave to cave, they found out. So 6 years, obviously, he did not have his fleece sheared. 6 years of weight being piled on his shoulders. Eventually, they found Shrek, as you can see, and they instantly took him to a professional sheep shearer. Did you know there was such a thing? I had no clue. But a professional sheep shearer. Here's what's amazing. Here's why I tell you this. What's amazing to me is once the shepherd found him, in less than 30 minutes, they removed all of his fleece. 6 years that had piled up. You may be wondering, well, how much is normal for 1 year? Under 10 pounds. So he had 6 times the amount. You can do the math for 6 years there, every year. And in less than 30 minutes, they took all of the additional weight off. And I think there's a spiritual parallel here. I do. Because some of us, we've been hiding away from our shepherd, Jesus. We've been hiding by ourselves and doing life by ourselves. And instead, if we could just get close to Jesus, instead of trying to live life on our own and trying to cope and trying to figure out how we solve this weight issue by ourselves, if we would just get close to our shepherd, I'm telling you, it wouldn't even take 30 minutes. It would just be a moment and he would take off the additional weight. But we hide because we're scared. We have fear. Well, what's God going to say when he finds out about my life? Well, what's God going to do when he realizes what I've been doing on Friday nights? What's God going to say when he realizes how I've been talking to my spouse? Can I tell you some news today? He already knows. He sees it all. Good and bad. You may have hid it from your best friend, but nothing is hidden under the sun from God. God sees it all, so you might as well stop hiding and go close to your Savior today and rest in a relationship with him, because he can cure what ails you in a second if you let him. He wants to move in your life. Let me tell somebody today, it's not about religion. It's not about rubbing prayer beads. It's not about saying Hail Marys. It's not about perfect church attendance. Even though that one would be a good idea, though. I'm just saying. But it ain't going to get you to heaven. You can go before God one day, and we all will. And I talk about this all the time. Pastor Ryan, can you talk about something else? I would if the Bible did, but it talks about it all the time. You're going to approach God one day. Every single person, even if you hate God, we will all approach him one day at the end of it all. And you're not going to go to God and say, God, look at my report card. Did really good here, especially in 2018, man. I went like 20 times out of the 52 Sundays, man. That was real good there, God. And man, God, you see this, how I raised my kids? I told them that Jesus is maybe the way to heaven. I mean, I got kind of close. And then, oh man, God, you're gonna love this one. I volunteered once in 1999. It was incredible. No! You know what God's gonna do? Gently and nicely, he's gonna take that and throw it away, because it doesn't matter. It's all about your relationship with him. Think about my relationship with my wife. I do good things for her, and I show my love to her, not because I'm trying to earn her love, because I already have it. And because I love her, I want to do things for her. Because I love her, I want to honor her and be faithful to her, not to earn her love, but because I'm resting in that love that we share. There's a different mentality. So if you walked in today feeling good about your religious acts, I'm telling you, it was all worthless. Jesus, it's all about a relationship with him. We got to know that. Number three, the last point. Once you give your burdens to Jesus and you realize he's talking to you, not the person sitting next to you, number three, you can carry the yoke. Now, that sounds counterintuitive. I realize that, but we're going to talk about it. Number three, carry the yoke. Where did you get this from? The last two verses? We only read three. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Don't you love that about Jesus? He's gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, Jesus talking, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to give you some context because it's helpful. The yoke was two things for the original audience. We're coming in later on, thousands of years later, but the original audience, the yoke meant two things. Number one, you could jot this down if you're taking notes, but the yoke represented two animals underneath this yoke, and they could pull a heavy load. Okay, you won't see that too often in a big city like Houston. You'll see it, though, throughout the world still, and in remote places that there's farming and things like that, and they can't afford a tractor or things. But it was two animals underneath the yoke, and they could pull a heavy load. That was the first thing that the people would have thought of when Jesus was talking. Here's the second thing. They would have automatically went here. The yoke represented God's people being enslaved. I don't know if you remember anything about the Bible, maybe as you're younger, some of the stories that we hear. And one of the famous stories, even people that aren't Christians, is the whole Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses, the plagues, all that kind of stuff, parting of the Red Sea. And maybe, you know, bits and pieces of that story, very famous story. And so in that was God's people, the Israelites, being enslaved by the Egyptians. And so when Jesus would have said the yoke, they would have went to that as well, remembering their oppression, the yoke of slavery that was put on them by other people. So they were thinking about a yoke pulling heavy weight, and they were thinking about the oppression the yoke forced upon them. Well, what does that mean for us, Pastor Ryan? I'll tell you what it means. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that you can take off the yoke of others now, and you can take off the yoke of oppression now, and then you can replace it with my yoke. He's saying the yoke that others have forced on you, that could be culture, that could be family, that could be friends, the yoke that's been forced on you and the yoke you put on yourself, the expectations that you have that you've got to be perfect and you've got to do this, that all of those yokes, you can take them off and put on Jesus's yoke. He's saying, this is for somebody today, that you no longer have to live for the applause of man. That you no longer have to live your life where you're trying to impress people. That no longer do you have to live in such a way where you are approved by others. Instead, live for me, Jesus says. Instead, follow me. And really, he's pointing out the obvious, and hopefully you see it. Jesus is saying that those other yokes, they're weights you were never meant to carry. Those other yokes, they were weights that I do not have for you. But instead, my yoke, what does he say, is easy and light. You think it's counterintuitive. Why would Jesus say, get rid of the baggage and then put on something else? Here's why. Because Jesus is gentle and humble. And when you take upon his learning, his way is the best way. When you take that on, you can handle it. Not because of you, but because of Jesus. You've got to realize that today. That God has not just called you to get rid of the junk. He's called you to carry his yoke. To live his way because he loves you. He cares about you. When you become a Christ follower, hear me, friend. When you become a Christ follower, you realize that living for Jesus is way better than living for yourself. You realize that living for Jesus is way better than living for others or for culture. It's a life of peace. It's a life of purpose. It's a life that makes a difference. May you never forget that our culture screams to us, you got to earn it, you got to perform. But Jesus says, I've already earned it. No performance necessary. Come on, somebody in this house. Are you thankful? I appreciate the golf claps. That just makes me feel so good. That was sarcasm, if you couldn't tell. I want to, as we get ready to pray, because I want to give some people a chance to rest in Jesus and not in your accomplishments. I want to reread, don't show it yet, but I want to reread Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I think it's the best way for us to close before we pray. But I want to reread it in such a way that we're going to read out of the Message paraphrase. It's a paraphrase, exactly that. And I think it's really going to speak to some people and seal the deal before we pray. Here's the same verses, but out of the Message. Here's what Jesus says to you. He asks, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I want you to bow your heads with me all across the house, Lord, in this holy moment. Eyes closed, heads bowed. The reason why I ask you to do that every single week is so you're not distracted. You're not talking to the person beside you. You're not checking your phone. Just right there where you're seated. This holy moment, you're just listening to my voice, but more importantly than that, you're listening to God because he wants to speak to you. And I just believe with all my heart that there's many in this room, there's many listening online, that if you're open and honest with God, and hopefully you would be, that you would say to him, Jesus, I acknowledge that I've got some junk in my life. I acknowledge that there's some baggage that I've been carrying. And I haven't really realized until today what that weight is. But today I acknowledge my past. Not proud of it. Not excited about it. But I'm tired of pretending it's not there. It affects every relationship, every circumstance, every space, and every place that I walk into. They can't see it, but I know it's there now. So I just pray, Lord, for those that feel this way, I pray first of all that they would rest in a relationship with you. That God, if they are a Christ follower, I pray, God, that they would truly begin to follow you. That they would realize that you want to help, that you want to take care of the excess weight. And God, they will never earn it. I pray that they would lay down that attitude, that demeanor today. The attitude that says, I got to get what I get, and it's only based on my works. I pray, God, they would lay that down, that kind of life. And instead, they would come close to their shepherd. Because you're the only one that can take off the weight. May they rest in a relationship with you. God, you want to have a relationship with them that doesn't just happen for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday mornings. You want a relationship every second of every day with them. They would talk to you and hear from you. They would read your word. They would put themselves in situations where they can be around other believers to encourage each other, to do life together. And I just pray lastly, Lord, before we move on to those that are far from you, I just pray lastly, God, that you would help us, that as we give you the baggage to put upon your yoke, as we take off the yokes that others have put on us and that we put on ourselves, that culture, I pray, God, that we would take those off and put on your yoke, that we'd follow you, that we'd live our lives for you. It's not a perfect life. It's not an easy life necessarily, but it's way better than anything else we could accomplish or do on our own, because it's a life that we were destined to live. It's a life that we were made for. Help us to do that. And with eyes closed, heads bowed, we're right on time. God, we do this at the end of every service, you know, and so my heart is expecting right now. And I just pray for any underneath the sound of my voice, those in this room and those listening online, for anyone that is far from you. God, maybe they've never given their life to you. Maybe they've never surrendered it all. Maybe they've never put their trust in you. Or maybe, just maybe, these last several months or these last several years, they've been living in such a way like you didn't exist. They've been doing life on their own. They've been trying to be a good person or do these good things, but they realize today that they are far from you, Jesus. So whether it's the first time or the first time in a long time, I just pray that even now you would ready their hearts to surrender it all to you, just like I have, to put their trust in you, to believe that you're not just some made up fairy tale, but Jesus, you literally came to this earth. You died on the cross and you rose from the dead for us. That we were on your mind, we were on your heart as you sacrificed and gave it all. In fact, you tell us in your word, God, that even while we were sinners, which means while we were away from you, you still willingly, gladly sacrificed for us. And today I just pray for some people that are far from you, that they would surrender it all. It's not about what they do, it's about what you've already done. But to receive that free gift of salvation. God, you don't want them in hell, you want them in heaven with you for eternity. But you won't make them surrender, but I pray today they feel that drawing, that they would surrender. With eyes closed, heads bowed, I can't see those listening online, but you can still participate. But for those in the room, the service was dedicated to you. I'm not gonna embarrass you, not gonna make you stand or go to some room, even though that would be okay. But right where you're seated, you can surrender your life to Jesus. You can do what many have done in this room, including myself, and you can pass over from on your way to eternity without God to on your way to eternity with God. That's what God wants for you. He loves you, he cares about you. So no one looking but me, but right where you're seated, if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. Again, I will not embarrass you. Right where you're seated, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, could you lift up your hand so I can see it? No one looking but me. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Yes, thank you so much. You can put it down. Anyone else? Don't miss your moment. This is for you. This is for you. God, you're so good. Here's what I want to do before we close. We want to seal the deal because God just saw your hand. And more than that, he sees your hearts. And maybe even you were too embarrassed to raise your hand because you're just, oh, what if somebody sees me right where you're at? This is personal. You and God, you can surrender your life to Jesus. So those that want to do that and also the Christ followers as support, I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer. It's not a magical prayer where pixie dust will float down from heaven if you say it just right. No, it's a prayer of surrender and commitment to Jesus. It's a prayer that acknowledges your sin, but it also acknowledges that Jesus is your Savior. So those that raise their hand and the Christ followers as support, could you repeat this after me out loud? And even more than that, mean it with all your heart. Say this, dear Jesus, I thank you for your love. And I ask you now to forgive me of all the baggage, of all the sin, of all my mistakes. And right now, I surrender. Come on, tell him again. I surrender. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And right now, I put my trust, my faith in you. I am yours. And Jesus, I pray that you'd help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you stand to your feet with me all across the house if you're able to? You can clap your hands for those who just gave their life to the Lord. Don't worry, the Texans have not started yet, so we're good. You're good. You will not miss those noon times. Today is going to be good. Couple of things, three things real quickly. Number one, for those that surrendered your life to Jesus, we have a table in the back. These are called Start Bibles. It's not all of the Bible. It's just one chapter of the book of John. I just encourage you to pick one of these up. You just started a new journey today, or maybe you started a new journey again, and this will help you get started. There's a letter from me to you in there, and I point to it every single week that people get saved, and I'm so thankful. And just to give you a little prep, you should get a little excited about this, but in the last 9 months, we've seen over 100 people give their life to Jesus. Come on, somebody. I pray the Texans will win today. That way you'll be more excited next week. You know, that'd be cool. Man, I'm too mean. But Jesus was kind of hard too, so I guess I'm just falling his way. Number two, I just got three things. Number two, myself and a few others, we'll be down here to pray. If you want prayer for anything, and not just bad things that are going on. If you've got a promotion that you're up for and you just want some prayer for that, or maybe you're believing to have a child, or maybe you're thinking about proposing to somebody, you just want to make sure like you're following God's, whatever that looks like, good or bad, we love to pray with you here at the front. And then lastly, number three, we have part two that begins next Sunday for this series. And really, I viewed this message as an intro to the series. And I believe that there's going to be some life change that happens next week as well. So bring somebody with you. Make sure that you're here in God's house. And just to tease it a little bit, we'll have a free gift for every single person that comes next week. So hopefully that will help you get here. But we'd love to see you next week. Besides that, you are dismissed. We love you so much. Have a great rest of your day. Go Texans.